always, the FSP always believed that you could have a general strike. So then of course you had a chance of developing it into a seizure of power.
So there is this, is there a dichotomy? Because I mean, looking back, this working through parliament channels, mounting democracy, and yet hoping somewhere along the line.
This I call the fundamental script in the attitudes of the FSP. On the one hand, they maintained an overt revolutionary orientation. On the other hand, covertly or subconsciously, they oriented themselves to reformist parliamentary activity.
But isn't this inevitable in the sense that overt revolutionary activity would mean really political suicide?
Yes. But the existence of a split revealed the lack of an integrating outlook governing these two fields of endeavor. You see, they hadn't systematized both fields of their activity, the ideological agitational with the parliamentary, we might call the parliamentary activity, the emphasis on parliament as the center of political attention of the masses at the human point.
I mean, I think this was very important individually speaking.
Individually speaking and also collectively speaking for the party. Because if it did not have parliamentary representation, it wouldn't have been important. But the important thing was to recognize that fact and to subordinate the revolutionary perspective or the revolutionary forms of action to the exploration of parliament as the medium of struggle.
But have they done so? I mean, have the parliament?
They have done so without admitting it. So it has been always something, you know, guilt-ridden. But one always felt that you were selling out, you were becoming reformist. So recognizing that that was inevitable, and you had to do it.
I mean, don't you think that a revolutionary party of the type led by Castro is not feasible?
Yes, and there's no room for it in today's conditions. It is one thing if parliamentary liberties are suppressed. Then, of course, you would need entirely different methods of struggle.
But 45, couldn't you have taken to the mountains? No.
Because we don't have a revolutionary perspective. And in the case of Castro, one would say that they didn't have a revolutionary presence in Cuba either. But they had a situation where a dictatorship in the town made it necessary to flee to the villages to fight. He's asking his routine question, because I'll be here to dinner.
Of infiltrating arms.
Yes. volunteer army largely, and therefore drawn from the urban English-speaking elements. And fundamentally, Catholic or Christian dominated. It is today, with the attempts that the Bandaranaike government made to draw in the Buddhist single element into the army, that the tensions grew within it.
Marxist groups.
Yeah.
How did the cooperation work out in
Kashmir? I was here in 1946.
At this point, the original spool was changed. The interview is continued.
The mayor, what the mayor was he?
The only excitement.
Yes. There was this culprit, the mayor, who had a lot of money.
He was assaulted,
he was mistaken for Kotalawal. He was driving in his huge car. Kotalawal was the minister in charge of communication.
Were you watching or leading the brigade?
I was nearly run over by the by that car.
Oh.
Because we were marching in the procession.
Oh, I see.
And I remember the moment who there was a woman by my side. She was run over and there were gaping wounds on her legs.
So, on the whole, there was no clash between the parties?
No clash as far as I remember. There was maneuvering, but not more than that.
But in the whole period, 45-47, weren't the CP and LSSP competing for militancy and for support?
Yes, especially among the working class. Mm-hmm. But there were fairly clearly demarcated fields, except in the harbour. Mm-hmm. In the harbour, we really clashed with the CP organisation. But elsewhere, the CP had its slave island, you know, Union Place, Dali Road, Union, some of the engineering workshops. Mm-hmm. But we had most of the government establishments and some of the other industries. The loss of mills and so on.
Would you say that the newspapers consistently misrepresented the issues during this strike? Siding with D.F. and Crown?
Well, they were always biased against us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but I wonder whether that was so important a factor at that time. So public opinion really did not contribute to solution of these strike battles on the side of the workers. We always felt that middle class public opinion was somehow against trade unionism and so on. Until the middle classes themselves were forced into trade union action in the GCSU.
That's 47.
That was 47.
Someone told me a story of how DS and M were trying to undermine the GCSU by whispering campaign saying that its leadership was largely Tamil. And therefore, that the GCSU quickly made Ilanarasan their president. Brought him down to 10.
I wasn't there.
You don't know anything about the Yamuna talks?
No, I only heard later that there was a possibility of preventing the formation of DS's government. That's what you're referring to.
Yes. No, as someone has told me, this is a biased viewpoint, that they failed because the LSSP took the doctrinaire stand that they couldn't cooperate with the Catholics.
I think that is true. And the more glaring example of the LSSP's doctrinarism leading to frustration is the Bandaranaike episode.
Right.
When Banda formed his government, even if at the time of formation the elephant speech was not invited, it could have kept the door open for subsequent entry into development. And this whole tactic of coalition could have been anticipated by many years.
But I thought Banda didn't really need that support in Parliament.
Yes and no. Mr. Nagaratna told me only about a month or two ago when we were talking about this, that NM was waiting for an invitation to join the MEP government, that NM on behalf of the LSP. And Nagaratna and many others thought decided really not to come into the government. So just after the government had been sworn in, Ilangasa said he ran into NM. And he asked NM, Doctor, so you did not accept our invitation? So NM said, what invitation? We were waiting for an invitation. So there was also misunderstanding in this whole thing.
Both sides didn't want to make us know.
At least, I won't say the whole NSSP was waiting for the invitation. But NM was prepared to press for acceptance of an invitation in the NSSP Central Committee. But the government of Banda had the impression that the NSSP as a whole had decided against any kind of participation.
That means some were against.
Some were against.
Would this be the crowd, now Edmund has led a group away, hasn't he?
Yes.
Would that group have been against his name too?
But they would have been significant at that time.
Mm-hmm. Why, who were the leading members?
Edmund and Karala Singh, really nobody of...
Even I meant to ask you earlier, when this Trotskyan group fell, how many were expelled from the party? 40?
In 39
or 40?
Yes, in 40, I think. It was a mass expulsion. I can't even remember.
Over 100?
Must have been more than that. It was a mass party also, you see, anybody could join the party by saying 25 cents. I thought I would have a look around and see how things were going on. And then I also decided that unless I could give most of my time to party activity, there was no point in joining the party. So there was all this had decided me in being cautious about joining the party. I was to help from outside. But then when the struggle against the last government came, well, really before that, with the formation of the coalition, I have been advocating some kind of coalition with the
state. Now this is in 1965,
right? 64. In fact, I first...
While you were outside the party?
Yes, while I was outside. In fact, while I first came here, Philip came to me. And he's suggested to me that I should try to bring about some kind of understanding between him and the elephant. So I moved in the matter, and despite Philip's very boorish behavior, rather really, I was stunned at the way he would do things. He would ask me to arrange for a meeting with Colvin, and when Colvin turns up here, he would refuse to come. So things like that used to do, and in spite of that, they had come to the stage of discussing common action. Then there was a series of strikes, and they were acting together in those strikes.
1962.
Oh, 62.
This is before the coup.
Before the coup. Then came the attempt at the coup. And immediately, Philip changed. He set his face against the electricity and started doing physics. Do you remember that? Were you here at the time?
I was in the university, not a very political conference, somewhat, yes.
He was seeking now to patch up with the selected government. So that fell through.
But why? I mean, how did the coup explain? Because the LSC was not
involved. He was frightened by the possibilities that still existed.
In fact, have you any idea what OAG's role was?
I only can suspect or infer what his role was. I have no information. I have no doubt that all these people were involved in it.
All the chapter of the
OAG. And Dudley J.R.
Oh, that looks good.
Subsequent events make that clear.
No, I know that if the IT, I'm from the bourgeois crowd and I have friends and all that who knew some of the poor people, and I know it has been welcomed in Colombo. But I still think it was a selfish minority plane and came up quicker. In the national interest, as they thought.
Yes, but they needed some kind of pat on the back, you see, some kind of encouragement from behind. And they got that. OEG and certainly JR.
But OEG was not sent away for quite some time. I'm surprised.
Yes, but they had effectively quarantined him, I think, by that time.
But how did he survive in 56?
Amazing. Abilities are extraordinary, no doubt about it.
Or perhaps Banda was not strong enough?
Banda was also not strong enough. Banda was not strong enough.
Because there's little doubt that his sympathies are right next to us.
And he nearly threw out Banda in that period of emergency, isn't it?
Yes. But anyway, I think that time can be, the role he played then can be defended.
Yes.
Prime Minister, but not Prime Minister.
It was a very anomalous situation. It's surprising that he should have handed over to the government in
the country. People say that the LSSP threat is the thing that led him to declare emergency. Is that true that the Iranian crowd threatened to take action if he didn't?
I don't know.
Coming back to the 60s, so that failed then, after 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, is it correct to say that in 61, 62, before the coup, when you were cooperating,
yes.
The intention was, if possible, to bring the government down. Because the strikes were quite serious.
Yes. The intention was to bring down the government by direct action.
But isn't that officially denied now?
Well, have they denied it?
I'm not certain, but I'm pretty certain that the intention was to bring the government down simply on the fairly sincere views put forward by one or two of the campus troops or from, I'm not sure which, a friend of mine. And they, I'm sure, were in touch with the police bureau, and they were said that they want to bring the SLSC down.
Yes, that was the perspective, because the elected officials had taken the attitude that the SLSC government was an alternative bourgeois government. And there was nothing to choose between it and the UNP.
But what led to this disenchantment between 60 and 60, late 61?
I would say a certain basic confusion about the nature of the SLSC. It had never formed the correct appreciation of the SLSC. Again, because of the refusal to address itself to the nature of the village mass. Because if the LSSP believed that the aspirations of the rural masses could be directly represented by the LSSP, then clearly the SLSP was not necessary. And it was a foreign body, even in the villages. I think that is the attitude it took. Pandita comes from, again, this village, low middle class spectrum. He comes from the Amblangodas area.
But then, after his head is transformed, it is Philip who broke away, but then it
is. No, Philip had effectively broken. Because he, the whole episode
I'm not yet.
Of the junta,
was
Philip.
Sorry, I'm not here.
No, that is what led to the coalition. You see, when Mrs. Bangal Naika found that her majority in parliament was becoming more and more undependable.
Oh, was that it?
Yes. Yes, one or two people had defected.
But still, they had a straight majority.
They had a majority, but this was becoming more and more unmanageable. There were groups within this which were demanding each pound of flesh. C.P. de Silva's group, some other person's group, and so on. So, she had to resort to the expedient of proroguing Parliament. When she prorogued Parliament, Philip thought that this was a great opportunity for him. And he operated through Jnanasiya, the first accused in the coup case now. Who had always been propounding a theory of necessary dictatorship in Ceylon. He got Jnanasiya to propose to Mrs. Bangal Naika that a junta should be set up and parliament should remain prorogued. This junta should assume all power and go ahead. The junta was to consist of five people. Mrs. Bangal Naika, Felix,
Felix Lord Gunn.
He was Philip Lord. Felix, Philip, Mrs. Bangal Naika, Felix, Philip, Ilangaratna, and Enkyudai. Now, when Mrs. Bangal Naika told Ilangaratna this and asked him also to come in, she had fallen from the idea. This is where she didn't understand the seriousness of all this. So she told Ilangaratna, this is what has been suggested. Felix had been strongly pressing the line. Philip had agreed. And she wanted now Ilangaratna's support.
Thank you.
Thank you was always for something like that. So Ilangaratna told her, what rubbish are you talking? Do you realize what you are seeking to do? You want, in other words, to rely on the army and the civil service and to hold down the people. He said that's not the thing to do at all, and in any case he couldn't support it. Then she asked him what she should do then. Whereupon Ilangaratna said, you send for Dr. Hemanthulena. Surely the best thing to do is to find allies among the left. So it was this that brought in him onto the scene. Now when in him came and he was told about the junta idea, he was surprised. The Philip who was in the United Left Front with them had been negotiating to set up a junta and suppress them.
Ilangaratna's role is interesting because I hardly know the man. This would seem to show that he had the best democratic ideas, although all the practical sense in which it would appear that he questioned the feasibility of a junta.
No, actually I have come to know Ilangaratna fairly closely in the last 2 years. I didn't know him before. And I have had the opportunity of working with him in many projects. I have a very high opinion of him. I think that he has been the target of deliberate, malicious, consciously engineered slander. He has been recognized as the man in the SFP who was consistently for a left radical orientation. And it was his pressure that has brought about several measures of nationalization, including the nationalization of certain spheres of trade and the stolen distribution and insurance and so on. him, and the embodiment of everything that they detest. They have, therefore, perhaps regarding him in their own image, sought to find his motivation perhaps the more baser level. They believe that just as they are moved by monetary incentives, so they believe that Jagratna has also done this for purposes of personal enrichment. And hence the stories about his building houses for himself, acquiring hotels in Switzerland, buying shares in plantation companies, and all kinds of things.